going out of my door. I can know all things on earth without looking out of my window. I can know the ways of heaven the farther one travels, the less one knows, the less one really knows.
Hello again and welcome to I've Got a Beatles Podcast with Dave and Chris, and we are going to go into the lab again today for another installment of Songs Under the Microscope. So you were listening to a rendition of our selected song today by Chris's favorite, actually he's almost become a friend
Anushka
of the show.
Anushka Shankar, yeah.
Oh, she's great too. Yeah, almost become a friend of the show, but a version of The Inner Light done by Jeff Lynne.
Yeah, I think our great white whale interview would be Jeff Lynne, right?
Yes. Yeah.
We'll make it happen someday.
Definitely, definitely. So we thought we'd look at a George Harrison song because as far as we know, this is the first time that we're looking at a Harrison song in the series Under the Microscope. And we chose one that was not one of the standard ones like Something or While My Guitar Gently Weeps or something like that, because we wanted to do something a little different. So what kind of, when you think of The Inner Light, what do you think of right away?
Well, meditation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's very much a product of George at the time becoming very interested in meditation. I think it's right at the beginning of that Maharishi. This is sort of the song that could mark the beginning of the Maharishi George era.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing I think of, you know, and Indian music.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And all that kind of stuff. So,
well, it's pretty.
What about you?
I think the fact that it was kind of obscure. In fact, it was kind of hard to find for a while, as we will get into a little bit later. It was released, it kind of has some firsts, too. It was George's first appearance on a Beatles single. It was the B-side of Lady Madonna, so that was one place you could find it. But not, you know, a lot of people didn't really have that, and especially don't now, so it was kind of hard to find.
Yeah, for after the release, I think it popped up on Rarities.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that's the first time people really were like, oh, yeah, this is a thing. And then, of course, it's on Past Masters Volume 2.
Yep.
The stereo version.
Right,
Which is a little different than the mono version. But we'll get into a little bit of that a little bit later.
Yeah, and so I think of it as being George's first appearance on a Beatles single, as well as the last George Harrison Indian song in the Beatles. So we've talked about Love You Too. We've talked in our last episode with Sgt. Pepper. We talked about Within You, Without You, and then this is the third of the trilogy of George Indian tunes, and it's The Inner Light. But I don't know about you, but to me it really sounds very different than those other two.
Yeah, it's a slightly different style of Indian music and very enjoyable. I mean, that version we heard there with Anushka Shankar playing the sitar there on the track from the concert for George, what was the clip we heard there, just blistering, playing, and it's just like really, really fun to hear a different set of instruments than you hear on Within You, Without You. And
Yeah. And it's almost, wouldn't you say, like, I guess, well, yeah, in a way, this is another George almost entirely solo composition. John and Paul make a very brief appearance at the end, but otherwise it's just George and Indian musicians again, which happened with the other two songs, too.
Well, part of it's, it was, it might be, I'm not 100% sure of this, but it might be the only Beatles track that most of it was not recorded in Europe.
That's correct.
It was recorded in Bombay, India.
That's right.
While they were working on Wonderwall music.
Yeah, so which this would be a good time to get a little flavor for what George was into at the time. So this was early 1968, and that was his first solo album proper, which was a soundtrack for a movie called Wonderwall. And it's whenever I used to say that, people would say, "Oh, you mean the Oasis song?" And it's like, no, not quite. A little different. But we, I don't know, have you ever seen Wonderwall?
I have not.
No, I have not either. So I'd be curious.
We're going to have to make that one of our movies that we watch to review.
That would be an interesting one to check out.
Yeah.
But the soundtrack for it is has some, you know, has Eric Clapton on it and other celebrities. But we thought we'd play you a little excerpt from the Wonderwall music album. To give you a taste of what George was into, and this is a song called Guru Vandana. Yeah, so that was kind of a taste. If you're listening for that main melody instrument there called the Shenhai, I think that's how you say it. It sounds a little bit like an oboe, or maybe if you're interested in medieval music, sounds like a shawm or Renaissance music. Very kind of nasally woodwind sound. And you'll hear that a lot on The Inner Light, of course, which has a prominent melody. Also, what stands out about the Wonderwall music, it has a groove, too, and it's very, I think The Inner Light is very danceable in, it's got two sections, right? There's the slow and the fast section. The fast section really grooves.
Well, especially in that live version we heard it.
Yeah.
It's just like really cooking along, you know.
Definitely.
Yeah. So
it very much kind of fusing together George's interests in rock music as well as the Indian, kind of this cross hybrid fusion type of music that he was able to put together. Pretty interesting sound, recorded, as you said, in Bombay on January 12th, 1968, and then they finished it up with the very brief background vocals in early February 68, and was, as we said, released on the B-side of Lady Madonna. Well, quite a contrast in those two songs.
Yeah. And then They didn't do anything with it until 1970, where they mixed a stereo version of it, but didn't release it anywhere, really.
No.
Just kind of sat on shelves for future use. And then, you know, like we said, came out on Rarities, came out on Passmasters, became all of our, the way we knew it. And then vinyl mono set came out, and they put that original mono version on there. And you can hear a good difference in that the solo at the beginning is different, and you can kind of hear some of the another of the instruments a little more prominently. So I thought we'd play a little bit of the Mono Masters version of The Inner Light. Let's hear just a little bit of that at the beginning.
Without going out.
So you definitely heard the Shenhai at that time, really wailing away on that. So, the thing is, do you feel in a way, definitely the song was overlooked, but the Beatles really liked it, and they were coaxing George to sing up in his high register and to do the performance, which he felt kind of nervous about. But yet, there's this funny backhanded compliment from Paul. And I wanted to read this quote here. It says, in 1968, Paul commented, "Forget the Indian music and listen to the melody. Don't you think it's a beautiful melody? It's really lovely."
I guess maybe he's just being like, if people are bristling at the indie music, he's being like, no, come on, listen to it, you know?
Uh-huh.
It could be taken as a positive thing he's trying to say there.
Okay. You're a half glass or a glass half full type guy on that one.
What about a couple of these other instruments on here though?
So we have that, the main one we heard, as I mentioned, the Shenhai really stands out. And that's in the fast section. You have a sarod, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing these correctly, Pak Havai, another Indian instrument. And then what really stands out to me, you have these two sections. I might as well talk a little bit about the music, but you have two sections, basically. It's very easy to follow what's going on in this song. You have the fast part that we heard in the introduction, and then is instrumental. There's a flute on that middle section, and you were looking looking into it. It's called the bansuri.
Yeah, bansuri flute. It's like a 23-inch long bamboo flute that very prominent throughout. And the most lovely part of the song is that it's sort of, I feel like when that's playing, it's sort of carrying you up into the clouds.
Yes,
or something.
Very ethereal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very much so. And so it's really back and forth. And then you have under it, you have the harmonium kind of just in the background. But what's different to me about this song versus the other two is that it's not like very drone heavy, like Within You, Without You, or Love You Too. And the sitar is not really the main instrument here. So the sources I looked at were saying that it's more South Indian instead of North Indian. So a little bit different influence here.
One thing I never noticed that there was a bit of a drone though, until earlier today. Actually, I was meditating,
mm-hmm.
as I do, and as you know, Dave knows more than anybody, I have a very glitchy audio system here, and I had hit play on something 5 minutes before and forgot about it. It never played. And then it came on. So while I'm meditating, suddenly the interplay comes on.
Oh, wow. Perfect.
In the background. And I noticed, I'm like trying to continue my meditation. So I sort of noticed that drone. I was like, oh, it is there. It's just very faint in the background from the harmonium, I believe.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not like the other ones that are really drone heavy. But it's just there in the background.
Yeah,
And then in terms of the music itself, it's very simple, based mainly on what we call the Mixolydian mode. And Mixolydian mode is a scale. If you want to go to the piano, if you have a piano, you can play it from G to G. That's the octave. Or you can think of it as a major scale with a lowered seventh. And that's basically it here. So just very few chords in that scale. So it's very simple, which again is a contrast from Within You, Without You, like we talked about last time in the Pepper discussion. That's a very complex song with a lot of stuff going on, and based on an Indian scale, whereas this one is not. So a little more Western in some ways.
Yeah, yeah. Once again, another good example of George being in complete control here.
Yes. Yeah.
And doing exactly what he wants. Now, the song idea, the idea for writing the song from George, and I have the we haven't really talked about this, but the I Me Mine extended edition re-release,
which is very heavy,
very heavy, very big book.
Nice.
And kind of a lot of his lyrics,
mm-hmm.
is most of the book. Not a whole, I was expecting a little more of, like, I don't know, I don't know what I was expecting.
Yeah, no, there's not much prose. Yeah,
but when I got it, I was maybe mildly disappointed with it.
Mm-hmm.
But they have a little something on every song, which is great. And on The Inner Light, George writes here about
Juan Mascaro
giving him the idea. He sent him a copy of his book called Lamps of Fire, and wrote him a nice letter saying how much he liked Within You, Without You. And he said, might it not be interesting to put into your music a few words of the Tao, talking about the Tao Te Ching. For example, number 48, page 66 of Lamps, and number 48 is titled The Inner Light.
Perfect.
And has very similar lyrics. George says it in here, though, in the original poem, the verse says, without going out of my door, I can know the ways of heaven. And so to prevent any misinterpretations and also make the song a bit longer, I did repeat that second verse, but made it without going out of your door, you can know all things on earth. Without looking out of your window, you can know the ways of heaven. So that it included everybody. So I thought that was very, very eye-opening about George having really thought it through during the lyric writing. Instead of just copying down, well, it's just this, and I'll just sing that.
You know? Yeah, exactly.
Kind of a similar thing we were talking in the last episode about being for the benefit of Mr. Kite, where they're thinking, he's just copying the poster.
Yeah.
But it's not so much that. He's taking the idea of the poster and saying something with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it seems to me like that's what George is doing here.
So tell me a little bit about the meaning of the lyrics. I mean, obviously, it's, as you just mentioned, the whole thing was inspired by something that already existed. But it seems very meditative, very contemplative. And in a way, is it kind of similar to Within You, Without You, sort of philosophical? Or how do you view the meaning of the lyrics?
I think it is philosophical, and I think if you don't know what the Tao Te Ching is, it's a Chinese classic text, fundamental text for both philosophical and religious Taoism, and has sort of influenced Chinese Buddhism. It's a very philosophical kind of a text. This particular text and the idea that action... The lyric, the farther one travels, the less one really knows.
Yeah, I love that line.
The idea of, like, if you're just taking action and you're just encountering the world, sometimes you know less than if you're meditating, you really truly find what you already know.
Mm.
I have a person that I listen to a lot of their audio recordings named Esther Hicks Abraham. It's the Abraham material. And they were talking about meditation in a recent recording I listened to. And they're talking about what does meditation change in you? And they say that the only change meditation really makes is a perceptual change, where you're perceiving the world differently. So I think that really is informative of what this song is trying to get through by the lyrics. Now, Maharishi's a transcendental meditation. We talked about that a lot in another of these Under the Microscope's Dear Prudence.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can go a little overboard with these different schools of meditation. I try to keep it simple personally. I do a thing called mindfulness meditation. Phil Jackson's a big proponent of this.
Phil
Jackson, the coach, very popular these days. So, but the principles are very similar. What I really think about why I need meditation every day is it's a quieting of the mind,
mm-hmm.
and that the mind is racing. You wake up in the morning, all the things you did yesterday, all the things you have to do today. It's just a little overwhelming for me. So I do find like a 15 to 20 minutes of meditation in the morning really connects you with yourself and connects you with what you like this song say, what you already know. and don't even know that, you know, rather than trying to get that from the outside, you know, looking for love in all the wrong places, trying to get that from the outside.
Yeah, I mean, just the end, those lyrics at the end when it, the arrive without traveling, see all without looking, do all without doing. I mean, that sums up what you were saying, kind of, that the answers are already present. You know, you don't have to seek so much here. If you think about it and kind of take stock of where you are in your place. So it's very, I could see, you know, someone's probably put these lyrics on on plaques you hang on your door or something.
Yeah.
That it's very quotable, but the overall meaning is really, you know, very profound, I think.
Yeah. If I ever make a meditation room, if I ever have a house and make a room just for meditation, maybe I'll do the same thing. Put that up.
This would be perfect for you. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you think about it, at the time, we're in early 68 here. We'd just gotten through the Summer of Love, and there was still a pretty positive perception of we can change things, and interest in Eastern religions and spirituality and things. So I think George really hit the mark at the right time with this song, and I can see why it resonated with John and Paul.
Yeah, and it's a beautiful song too.
Yeah.
it sounds good, and the lyrics are sick. I mean, all three of the George Indian songs, the lyrics are somewhat, probably Love You Too have the most complicated lyrics of the three, but pretty simple lyrically.
Yeah, yeah.
But of course, that's what you're going for, kind of.
Yeah, you want that, right?
Like, you want that. You don't want a lot of complex ideas. Complex lyrics.
Lyrics.
The ideas are complex. The ideas are definitely like something. I mean, we just talked 5 minutes about the philosophy behind the whole thing.
So yeah, it really puts together a pretty good package. And I'm curious what now. Jeff Lynne's version was very much straightforward. Like, he didn't change the tune too much. So as always, my favorite part of our Songs Under the Microscope are the cover versions, usually very obscure, that Chris is able to dig up. And this song hasn't been recorded very much, but there are a couple you found.
Yeah. Now, I did want to mention briefly that on Wonderwall Music, on the Apple box set re-release, there is an alternative take, the instrumental version of it, that they were recording during the time of that. So you could see that. Very similar to the mono version.
And you can hear George, like on the Sgt. Pepper box set, you can hear George instructing the Indian musicians a little bit as well. So he's very, he knew what he wanted. I love that.
Yeah. Now the Jeff Lynne version has been just a real rave for that version, about how perfectly his vocals were on that. So
Without four or five orchestras on that.
Yeah. You just want me to sing? All right. I guess I can do that. So cover versions, a few and far between. But there was one released very quickly after the single was released by the Soulful Strings.
Who?
So... Your favorites, the Soulful Strings, off of their great album, Another Exposure. Here's The Inner Light. What do you think of that? The Soulful Strings.
I like it. It's pretty funky. I like the backbeat there.
The The version I saw here only has 202 views.
Oh, that's a shame.
Two thumbs up, but it says the one comment was just says just dope. So, and I see the Soulful Strings also has done Paint It Black.
Oh, doing that.
So we'll have to. I'll have to dig more into the Soulful Strings and hear some of their other works.
Yes, absolutely. I like that. So pretty good, pretty faithful, but interesting version. So, and you've got another one too.
Oh yeah, this one's really great. This is Junior Parker, also with Jimmy McGriff, and I've got a couple Jimmy McGriff albums. Yeah. Actually, I'm kind of a fan. So let's hear Jimmy McGriff and Junior Parker here.
Well, very soulful. I'd say that's even more soulful than the Soulful Strings.
Yeah, I was like, this one should say this is dope too.
Yeah, this is. I like it. The piano was taking the Shenhai line there. It worked really well. A little bit kind of funky, or like jazz funky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it.
Good singing. You said he also did other version, or Junior Parker did a version of Tomorrow Never Knows as well.
Yeah, we're gonna have to listen to that after the episode's recorded.
Oh yeah. It's kind of, I guess it's because it's so obscure, there aren't a lot of versions, but it seems like it would work well for a cover version because it's not. I mean, it's a very easy melody to sing, and I don't know, maybe it's just so obscure.
Yeah, and the philosophy behind it's so translatable to other philosophies, even.
Right.
Other religions and things like that. So
yeah,
I guess, you know, the obscurity is the thing.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
But, yeah, it was great to dig into this track. I like it probably the best of the three.
I was thinking, I was going to ask you if you had to rank the three Harrison Beatle Indian tunes, where would you put this one? So you'd put this one at the top, you think?
Until maybe the last few weeks where we just been super duper diving into Within You Without You. Right. I've always kind of not liked Within You Without You, but but now my thoughts about that have improved quite a bit. But I still like this one.
Yeah,
the best, I think. It's beautiful. The lyrics are meaningful in a great way, and thumbs up,
definitely. Yeah. So it's interesting the what people said, or what George, I guess, kind of alluded to is after this, because someone asked him, well, how come you don't have any more Indian songs, or why did you stop doing Indian songs? Because now the next album's a white album, and so he said, well. In other words, basically, to paraphrase, that he wasn't going to be the next greatest sitar player, and he wasn't going to make a career as a great Indian musician. So Ravi Shankar told him, you know, you should go back to your roots. Don't forget your roots. And so he kind of became more reacquainted with the guitar again, and you can hear that for the rest of the Beatles' career. So,
yeah.
But this, so if that's true, this was a good send off and a good kind of concluding tune for his Indian period.
Yeah, we're gonna go out as we do with these songs under the microscope with the full version of the stereo from Past Masters of Volume 2.
If you want to replicate the situation, what it was like in the studio at the time, before you hear this, go. Well, you can pause the podcast so you can get some incense, candles, and dim lighting, which is what they did in Abbey Road Studios when George recorded the vocal part. So, get your incense and candles going, and then you can go out with the full version of the inner light.
I got my incense right here.
He does. Chris has it right there.
Yep.
Okay, he's getting it out.
Where's the lighter? Where's the lighter? Let's see. Oh, yeah. I don't know if it's sacrilege to light it with a lighter that says The Who on a Beatles podcast, but I'm doing it. I'll be kicking back with my deluxe I Me Mine, reading it cover to cover.
Oh, yes. So enjoy. Thanks for listening, and we will go out with the full version of The Inner Light.
Without going out of my door, I can know all things on earth. Without looking out of my window, I can know the ways of heaven. The farther one travels, the less one knows. The less one really can know all things on earth. Without looking out of your window, you can know the ways of heaven. The farther one travels, the less one knows. The less one arrive without traveling. See all without looking. Do all without doing.